Welcome back, guys. It's another Wednesday with In The Zone here. I'm your host, Nick Martelli, alongside Chris Martelli and Giancarlo Olino. Boy, do we got quite a bit to talk about today. We're going to start off today with the Toronto Raptors. They finally got something done. It took a while. We were teased. And now, is it safe to say we're pleased? Chris, I'm going to let you lead off with the news that came in around probably 2:30 this afternoon. It finally happened.
Yeah, so the Raptors finally traded Pascal Siakam. I think it was three podcasts ago we were talking about fits for OG and Siakam, and now both of them are gone. Good on Masai to actually get it done before the trade deadline. I think you could get a little more before the trade deadline, because as more trades come in, that's when the expectations get higher for the general managers. I think this is a win for both teams. I think Siakam going to the Pacers, it's a good fit, I think, for him for maybe not long term, but right now. I don't really understand why Indiana would do it, because you look at Milwaukee, you look at Philly, I think Boston, they're much better than Indiana. I got to give Indiana credit for trying to go, but for the Raptors, they get Bruce Brown, who is a NBA champion. Jordan Nwora, who is a guy that used to play for the Bucks, pretty decent three-point shooter. And they ended up getting Kyra Lewis Jr., who was a first-round pick from the Pelicans a couple of years back. They gave up Siakam in a second. You know what? For the Raptors, I think a lot of people might be a little frustrated because you look at Siakam's output, and you're not going to replace that in this trade. But the three first-round picks, I think, is something to be excited about. Alino, I know you mentioned something about maybe Masai has something up his sleeve with these picks. I'll let you kind of go into that. But for me, honestly, I think it's a win specifically for the Raptors in this situation, given their status.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's also, too, like when we were talking about, like, what's the identity of this team? And we talked about, okay, now they're rebuilding. Now it's for sure they're going to be like a retooled version of a rebuild. So they're not starting at like year one where they're praying and hoping for first overall picks. They're at a position where they do have lottery picks from other teams on their roster and Barrett. So, and they have Scotty Barnes. So I think it helps them along where it's not going to be like a 10-year, 5 to 10-year rebuild before they're competitive. I think like 2 to 3 is another realistic situation. You look at the picks, three of them, I don't know if they're pick swaps yet, they're not like totally clear on that, but maybe Masai has his eyes on some of the other disgruntled stars in the league. Maybe he can swing and miss for one. When I saw New Orleans was involved in this trade, I immediately thought, oh, wait a minute, Zion's coming over. My whole scenario of Toronto getting him. But maybe, like, I don't think it'd be too far-fetched if they're looking at a team like New Orleans and the LAs and, like, both LA teams, that maybe there's going to be somebody available, and that's where he'll use the first-round picks, because they have none.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be interesting to see. I mean, it's safe to say it's an end of an era.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure every single guy that was on that championship team is done. It's a new chapter. I mean, at least now we can see the direction that this team is going with. We were complaining about it the past few episodes whenever we talked about them. Where are they going? They don't have it figured out. Now it seems like they're finally on the right track, which is amazing for the organization. It's interesting, though. You know, they got a little bit of everything. The picks are going to be huge, I think, in the long run. Bruce Brown, you know, he won a championship with the Nuggets, brings a little bit of championship pedigree to a younger core of guys that maybe, hopefully, they'll learn something from him. I mean, he played an important part to a degree on that Nuggets team. He wasn't the most important player, obviously, but it's going to be interesting to see. Long term, anything can happen with this Raptors team. The interesting thing is the picks. Are they pick swaps? Are they protected? Like, all those different things. And plus, there's no guarantee that Siakam's going to necessarily sign in Indiana. I mean, it's a great spot given there's Tyrese Halliburton, there's Benedict Mathurin, there's Miles Turner, there's Buddy Hield. Like, they got a team, those guys. But who's to say maybe Masai's got some magic up his sleeve and he tries to maybe bring back Siakam in the summer? I don't know. Anything can happen, but you never know at this point.
Nah, he's not coming back just because of Barnes being up. Barnes is going to get $200 million for sure. Just looking at, the guy's a freaking machine. I think he could be a future MVP. I mean, there's a lot of great talent in the league. If he puts it all together, I think he's literally Kawhi 2.0 with a better three-point shot. So Scotty has a lot of potential. To me, the interesting thing about the trade, you guys can probably laugh if you want, but like, we signed Dennis Schroeder in the offseason. We still have Gary Trent Jr. We have Quickley. We have Barrett. And now we add Bruce Brown. I think that's way too crowded of a backcourt. I hate to say this, guys. I think Masai might be dealing Schroeder soon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we even got two guards in the trade today. Like,
yeah.
It's
a crowded backcourt. But you know what, though? The Raptors haven't been in a position like this in recent memory, or I think ever, where they've had, I'm not going to say they're all assets, but there's a lot of teams in the league that either need salary relief by getting some of these, you know, fringe guys that aren't going to play at all for the Raptors, or they might need some salary. So we might be able to kick some guys away because of contracts. So they're in a flexible position in terms of who they might be able to trade and who might they be able to bring in, or even maybe more draft picks. So it's going to be interesting to see, because like you said, Chris, that backcourt's jammed more than ever. We've never had this many guards ever. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. I'm excited.
You think Trent is kind of going to be the odd big one free out? Agent, or even like the guy that most teams call? Or you think they're going to call for a Schroeder just on a short term, no money deal type of thing?
I think it should be Schroeder just based on how he's performed the last couple years, and not couple years, last year. He's been memed for the longest time when he rejected that $80 million contract from, I think it was Boston. He played well as Kyrie's backup that year, and then he was backing up Isaiah Thomas, and then, yeah, he just said, no, I don't want that. And then, but I got to give Schroeder credit, man. He's a great point guard. I think he can get you 15 points off the bench. If he wants to go to Detroit to be a starter there, because Killian Hayes isn't doing it, Cunningham is hurt. They have 4 wins on the whole year. So they're in shambles. Monty Williams, their coach, like heist of the century, getting, what was it, $130 million? Like, that's insane to me. But yeah, I agree. I think it has to be between those two guys that are getting dealt. Trent, and we were talking about OG and Siakam. You flip the page and the two names I see are Trent and Schroeder, no doubt about it. And maybe even Poeltl if you want to try and see, because, he's our only center. And, I love Thaddeus Young. I love Chris Boucher, but you're not getting much of a return for those guys. So if you can maybe try and get another first for Poeltl, I would try and do it, just because we're in 12th right now. I don't see us making the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it will be interesting to see what happens between those two guys. I'm even throwing Poeltl in the mix. Who's to say, even if they don't even think of throwing Grady Dick in there, based on he doesn't seem like he's being used. So if you need to throw in something to maybe sweeten the deal, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens either.
Yeah, the Lakers need some more shooting, so maybe.
Apparently they don't. They have Bronny James, so he can come and fit in right now, apparently. Insult of the year by LeBron. That was brutal.
Yeah, damn. 25 minutes and no points the other night when he played. That's insane. I'm just
happy, though, for the Raps, because now we can finally understand where we are.
Yeah.
And I got to give Masai still credit. I can't believe we got Barrett and Quickley in that. Like, Barrett and Quickley have been amazing. And our offensive rating, I think, has gone up 13% since those guys came. So we called it. We said Quickley was a guy that just was floundering, and now he's definitely succeeding.
He needed a fresh start, right? And we're going to look back on that Knicks trade. And if Quickley will be this guy that everyone's looking like he's going to be, this new star, budding star, and then RJ is a star already, we're gonna look and be like, the Knicks got nicked again. Like, they got fleeced.
I saw somewhere where someone was defending the trade for the Knicks. So like, yes, OG has the best net rating in the last 7 games. I'm like, yeah, but he's averaging 15 a game. Yeah, his rebounds are up. Yeah, he's a little more vocal in New York. You kind of have to be. It's MSG. You're in the pinnacle, you know.
The Mecca
gala of sports. But like, Quickley and Barrett have, dude, you don't understand. A 13% increase in an offensive rating is insane from one trade alone. You know, Alino, you called it. Masai, you see his name on the phone. Wizard. Just don't pick up the phone. It's laughable at this point. Hey, the Knicks are in the playoffs and we're not. So I can't really be talking too much.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing too is like, when OG was here, unfortunately, he had that injury bug a little bit, right? So,
oh yeah, that's true.
If the Knicks get an OG and an Obi that's going to be healthy, okay, yeah, sure, we can look on this trade and be like, But if he can't stay healthy, Masai is like, freaking Wile E. Coyote, except he's actually able to catch the Roadrunner every time he tries to catch him. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm excited. We have an idea where they're going.
With that being said, though, before we go on to wrestling, what do you guys expect now with Indiana? Like, because Halliburton's coming off that strained hammy. They still got healed in Mathurin. I think Mathurin might be a little frustrated with this trade because his usage rate's probably going to go down. But I mean, Siakam is an all-star, I think. I think he's a top 40 player in the league. I'm not going to say top 25. I think that's a little bit generous. But does he put them going from like a play-in to a six seed, or do you see them maybe pulling a Miami last year? Like, what do you envision with Indiana?
I think this is going to be a little bit disappointing. I don't see the fit. Like, of all the teams that came up, like, I thought, okay, Indiana might be a little bit, I think they're taking that in-season tournament a little bit too seriously now. It was a nice result. They made some noise. They showed the league that they're serious about, like, continuing to grow. But I just don't see the fit with, like, Siakam. It could obviously work, but everyone else's play is going to suffer a little bit. And I just think that this is a team that's out in the first round, regardless of where they play. Like, they could be sixth seed, they can be a play-in, but I think once they play like the top five teams, I don't see where they win.
Are they better than a Knicks team right now?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you think, yeah, so?
But I don't think they'll play each other.
No, I
so they're on, yeah, par about the Knicks, Cavs.
I think they're better than the Knicks. Depending on which Cavs team they get would determine if they were better than them. My thing with the Pacers is that with getting Siakam now, Mathurin's usage can go down, but if they go big, they can go big and they can stretch the floor by having Turner and Siakam, and then you got Halliburton, Mathurin, whoever they want to throw on the floor. It's going to give them a lot of different looks. The only thing, though, is that Siakam doesn't shoot the ball efficiently enough, whether it's mid-range or even from three. So they're going to struggle in that regard. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If they get a bunch of injuries or they're not able to click, they might turn into a play-in team at this rate, right? So as best as they can do, I say maybe sixth place. Yeah, if worst case, they get in the play-in. But if they get out of the first round, no one's going to take them seriously.
Yeah, I don't see them beating Philly. I don't see them beating Boston 100%. Maybe they could surprise, beat Cleveland, Miami. They can maybe, Miami too is old. Like their core is,
yeah,
like Jimmy Butler. I fucking love that guy, but I think he's had like four different injuries this year. Bam Adebayo, holy shit, all-star for sure. Probably their best player. And then you have Tyler Hero. Guy can't freaking stay healthy either.
So. I mean, the only way, this is going to sound crazy, the only way maybe the Pacers go on a run in the playoffs is if they can get 2019 Siakam in the playoffs. And then if they can get Tyrese Halliburton to play kind of like how Jimmy Butler played in the bubble in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's not. He's not.
No, he's not.
He's not, but that type of, yeah, but frame. He doesn't have that frame.
But if he can get those kind of numbers in the playoffs and Siakam can show up, be a number two, I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, now we got to go on, Nick, taking it back to the Leafs. It's been a rough couple weeks since the California road trip, hasn't it?
Things are not all good in Leafland as we thought. William Nylander signed that contract extension. They went on their West Coast road trip. They got the results they wanted against some horrible teams, minus the Los Angeles Kings. And it seems like, you know, things aren't all good in Leafland. You know, after last night, there's some quotes from Sheldon Keefe saying he doesn't know who he can rely on.
Should've said that.
I'm sorry, but if you've been coaching this team since 2019 he's been the coach?
I think it's his fourth year.
Yeah, the bubble.
The bubble. So 2019.
Yeah, fourth year. So his first year coaching was, I think, when we lost to Columbus or Boston.
Yeah, because he got appointed like mid-season.
Yeah, 2019.
That year, 2019.
20, yeah.
Was it Columbus?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you mean to tell me after this long, you don't know who you can rely on?
Yeah, that's an idiotic statement.
That's going to get, you know, fired.
Honestly, no. And it's one of those things where, you know, they haven't been playing well. Last night against the Oilers, the exposure of how poor they are positionally and defensively. I mean, okay, you're playing Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but man, I don't know where to start. I mean, we were saying before we got on air, if it wasn't for Martin Jones, where we're at and the way Willie's playing well beyond his expectations and Matthews being on fire as normal, where is this Leafs team? you know, a lot of people have said, you know, between last night and during the day today, that this Leafs team is a good team. It's nowhere near a great team in the sense of what it takes to win a Stanley Cup. You know, like the few moments I was able to check my phone today during the hours of the day at work, some of the shit that I saw talking about the Leafs, it made me sick to my stomach. You know, I always find great tidbits from like Biz and Whitney whenever they're talking and on their podcast and stuff like that. And there was one where it was like they rattled off 9 teams and it was like, what's the one thing in common that they have with the Leafs? Or what's the one thing in common that all these teams have? And it's like, what? It's like they have 2 less regulation wins than the Leafs. And the list was like San Jose, Columbus, Minnesota, Anaheim. Who else was... It was just a bad list. So they got a lot of things to figure out. I mean, I'm gonna get off the soapbox for a bit and let you guys go off because we're probably going to spend a decent amount of time talking about this because I don't know, where do you guys start? Like, Alino, do you start with the goaltending? Do you start with the defense? Do you try to trade one of the big guys? Like, or do you fire the coach? Like, what do you think needs to be done?
Right when you said about Sheldon Keefe, if I'm I'm looking, okay, you can't trust anyone here. You don't know who to rely on. Okay, we don't know who to rely on either. Call the receptionist. Do you know who the coach of the team is? It's vacant now. Get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't know what he was thinking by doing that. That's like asking to get fired.
It was Sportsnet's Instagram where I saw it today. And I was
He's made some puzzling fucking moves the last week. Have you guys noticed that?
He shuffled all four lines
the other... It was against Detroit.
On the fourth line.
All fucking lines are... Yeah. Like, how do you expect to win with every line being different?
Domi was playing with Marner and Bertuzzi. Like, what are you doing?
Oh my god.
This is Toronto.
We're not a junior.
This is the NHL, man.
It's not the OHL. I don't know. Like, there's so much to unpack.
I'll say coach. And I hate blaming the coach because that's lazy. I've mentioned on the pod, Bertuzzi's a guy that has made me sick to my stomach this year. Klingberg is fucking gone.
Reeves is gone.
Sammy was a terrible story. I mean, Sammy can turn it around, but as of right now, it's been worst case scenario for him. Reeves, fucking joke. There's a lot of positives like Lagesson, Benoit, Jake McCabe. The last week's been playing really well too. Morgan Riley, holy shit! Without him, we're not a playoff team.
You know what? You know what's one that really stings, and I hate to be the one to bring this up, but it is so true. We brought in a guy like Bertuzzi, but we let a guy like Lafferty go, and the season that Lafferty is having versus what we're paying Bertuzzi to do and what he's doing. It's so hard to like, and even like a great question today, a lot of people were saying on Instagram and on Twitter was, what do you do with TJ Brody? Like he got really exposed last night. Look, he's had to log a lot of minutes. We've had to rely on him the past few years a lot. But what do? Do you scratch the guy? Do you put him in the... Does he sit for a night and you bring someone up? Like, do you try to get rid of him? Like, there's so many holes in this team for it to be what everyone wants it to be in that... You want them to win a Stanley Cup. They have the offense. Everyone certainly believes that they do, but they don't have the intangibles, the things that like a Vegas had, or the things that the Avalanche had, or the Blues, the Lightning, the Penguins. Like, and mind you, all those teams had good goalies that they could rely on. We've been able to rely on Martin Jones. We're not winning a Stanley Cup of Martin Jones. And I feel we were talking before we got on here, Alino, even you brought it up. I feel for a guy like Joseph Woll, where when he finally is healthy, you're going to throw it. It's like the kid doesn't know how to, it's the Italian test. When you're 4 or 5 years old, you go away or you're by the pool and let's teach Tommy how to swim. Well, he doesn't know how to swim. Just fucking throw him in. If he sinks, we'll pull him out. If he swims, he swims and we're okay. So I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm going to let you guys talk a little bit more about it because there's so many things that need to be unpacked and figured out. I do agree though at this rate, and I have said it before, Sheldon Keefe has been a good coach for the Leafs when it comes to regular season and winning. But when it gets down to it, when we need the tactics or the methodical or the locker room, whatever it is at this point, it seems like he's lost something amongst this team. I don't know if it's respect or if it's the locker room.
You know what he lost?
But he's lost something and no one's fucking listening to him. So it's time for him.
What's the one
to pack his bags and get the fuck out?
What's the one big difference this year than last year with this Leaf? It's Kyle Dubas. He's not here anymore. Do you think Trey Living has a relationship with Sheldon Keefe? Maybe not. Maybe he does. Not a good one.
You got to be professional, though. Like, not for nothing. This has been Keefe's team for his fourth or fifth year now. You mean to tell me, like that quote, you mean to tell me you can't? He was hard. He's one of the hardest guys he's on when it comes to this team is probably William Nylander. He proves him wrong all fucking year. He signs his deal. And then, what was that? I think it was the second or third game after Willie signed. He didn't have the greatest game, even though he got like an assist or whatever. He's like, yeah, you know, we need him to be better. It's like, yeah, okay, I get it. You just signed the deal. You need him to be better. But you've been able to rely on this guy the whole time you're fucking here. And now what? He signs a contract? You throw him under the bus?
Leafs have had it nice, man. This Too is nice. Probably the worst Leafs team we've had in 7 years. And I'm just gonna state the facts here. Bertuzzi has been one of the worst fits I've ever seen. And I remember telling you in October that he's been just as bad of a contract signing as Clarkson back in the day. That's how bad he's been. I gotta give Max Domi credit because he goes from the second line to the fourth line to the third line to the wing to center. Like, he's everywhere and he's trying to make it work, but there are days where he's just fucking invisible too. And our defense, I can't blame anybody. Like, Brody is a fucking workhorse. He's getting old. Giordano, it's painful to watch him. How slow he is. I've loved Giordano, former Norris winner. He should hang him up. I think you got to give Timmins more of a run because the fact that he went from being like one of our most exciting players in the preseason to being a bench player like what Robertson was. Man, this Leaf team, Sheldon Keefe, man, like, this is probably the most work he's had to do in terms of coaching a team, and he's getting out coached every game, man. It's getting hard to watch.
Well, the one good thing is he has an extension, so if he gets fired, he's getting paid for as long as he doesn't have a fit there. But Bruce Boudreau's available. That's somebody who loved Toronto Maple Leafs hockey, and
he was a Maple Leaf.
He was a Maple Leaf. He would love to win a Stanley Cup. He said that was a dream to win a Stanley Cup with the Leafs. So can you imagine if right now he's calling Tree Living every day? It's just like, oh, it's just Bruce calling, see how you're doing. You know, how's our weather up there? Everything's good. I went to Boston Pizza the other day. Your dad's just running a fantastic establishment. He probably called him the next day. I'll just call him to see how the holidays were. By the way, I'm not coaching. Like, in case you need anyone to come around, you know, to the rink.
It's like that's
putting in his ear.
It's like that scam caller that can't get away. Bruce, hey man, did you fire Keefe yet? I'm available. Give me a call.
It's crazy because, you know, on the one hand, you're saying to yourself, okay, Bruce Boudreau won a Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals. Am I right? It feels like it was so long ago. I want to make sure he was the coach. I don't want to say he was.
Was it Barry Trotz?
No, Trotz.
It was Trotz.
Trotz. Okay. Yeah, Bruce has never won.
But Bruce was able, unfortunately, but Bruce was able to actually kind of get a handle on Ovi, have him grow up and turn his game around. That team really respected him. It was a tough time when they let him go. And then he had that horrible experience in Vancouver, which Vancouver was a dumpster fire for a long time. They finally turned it around. But here's the issue that is going to be tough for not just the Leafs, but for a lot of Leaf fans as well. Kyle Dubas hired Sheldon Keefe. And Sheldon Keefe has been probably the most highest winning percentage Leaf coach in a long time.
Look at the team.
No, I know. That's a byproduct. But besides that, even when we've had other good Leaf teams, they haven't had winning percentages like that. Mind you, they haven't had prolific goal scorers like what we have. So if you look at the assistant coaches, we got Guy Boucher. Great.
Bond villain.
He is a Bond villain.
Right.
But fuck, is he a good coach? Manny Malhotra's on the bench as well. He's another great coach. We have some good assistant coaches. Like, if Guy Boucher became the head coach, I don't think that'd be a problem. But I would not be upset. I'd be actually pretty happy if we had a Bruce Boudreau, a little bit of an old school guy. He would kind of get some of the younger guys, but there's things that needs to be changed. I think Trey Living is struggling to make a big trade. I think he wants to make a big trade, and there's maybe whoever he's trying to bait into a trade, he's having a hard time convincing them. So I think something big is coming. What it is, God knows what it is. Maybe it's Chris Tanev. Maybe it's somebody else. Who knows? But there's something big coming. And, you know, even Mitch Marner's fucking press conference last night after the game, like,
made me sick.
Yeah, you know, we're not worried about the outside noise, but everyone else seems to be pretty worried about the outside noise, and we're playing well. It's like, Mitch, you pummeled on the shittiest teams in the league on the West Coast. You beat a really good LA team.
Shut them out.
Like, They might go on a playoff run if they can stay healthy and they get their stuff together in the West. The West is tough, though. But you mean to tell me you're happy with how you guys are playing? Sure, you just passed 600 points. It's a big deal. Fastest Leaf to do it in Leaf history, yada, yada, yada. But you sound like the biggest spoiled brat and snob with those remarks. Like, you mean to tell me, for your time that you've had in this organization, even growing up a Leaf fan, you mean to tell me you have... You're almost surprised and perplexed by the pressure and the opinions and the pull that the media has with talking about this team. Buddy, if you're tired of it, let us know. We'll ship you out to fucking Phoenix or wherever, and you can play for a hard-nosed coach because you got it way too good here. Look, do we want him to be here for his whole career? Hopefully he wins a cup. Him, Matthews, and Nylander go down top three of all time. That would be amazing. But at this rate, something's got to change, and it might be him. I don't know, guys.
I think they need to address first the coaching comments, because if I'm a GM, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And it's going to say like, okay, you're not even accountable. The coach isn't accountable. Did you not drop the plays? Did you not come up with the lines? Like, bad. It shows he's not accountable. The Marlies, I think he's finding out all that success. It doesn't always translate to the pros because some of those guys came from the Marlies and they're not really anywhere to be found. But like, it's coming down to like your defense needs a defensive defenseman back there to just shut down, be calm. I'm looking at Jamie Oleksiak as a guy that would be perfect. We saw him play 2014.
Tree.
That big tree back there. That's someone you need. A defensive guy that, you know, I don't need him to score points. We got other guys that can score points. I need you to stand in front of the goalie. Just cover some distance. Be calm.
I'll give you another name. And you know I love this guy. Adam fucking Larson. He's available. He's on Seattle. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Give up a second round pick for him. Yeah, he's not probably not going to re-sign with us. But hey, Adam Larson's a guy you could pair up with a Liljegren, a Riley. He's a guy that you know if Riley pinches, if Liljegren pinches, he's going to park his ass at that blue line, not fucking pinch, and do his job well. Tanev has been, we fucking heard his name for years.
I know.
He would have been here by now.
Well, it's a trade living in Calgary thing, right? It's the trade. It's a relationship there. But yeah, there's so many defense. Like Adam Larson would be fun to see. Seattle's an interesting team because like they don't really have any fucking stars. They just have like a team that fucking goes out night in, night out, and well, they do what they got to do.
The best player they had, we had.
Yeah,
no, Jared McCann.
Yeah,
fuck's sake.
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
Keep Justin Hall in the fucking expansion.
Fuck's
sakes. And a video tribute for him too for that fucking.
Five of the Maple Leafs' last seven losses have come while having a multi-goal lead.
That is where you literally look at the coach and after those comments.
Well, even the comment after the Colorado game.
Can he
after the Colorado game where he said, you know, he's like, well, when they got Rantanen, McKinnon, and Makar and Devin Taves out there and you go your best against them, it's still, they're in another league of their own, buddy. What the fuck are you doing? You are like, he's literally like, I got one of the best goal scorers, hopefully of all time on my team. I have one of the arguably best Swedish players to be of all time on my team. I have an amazing Canadian prospect and player. That's Mitch Marner. I have Morgan Riley.
Prospect. That's generous.
Well, I'm trying to be nice about Mitch.
I know. Marner. You know how I feel. You're trying. You're swallowing, gulping there.
Honestly. But you mean to tell me that those four guys going up again, okay, Colorado's another animal. They've won the Stanley Cup already with that core. They got maybe another 2 years and then shit's going to change there. But you mean to tell me you're going to throw your guys under the bus after they had a relatively good West road trip? They were shit teams minus the LA game. But then you're going to say something like that?
He basically said that
my
that
team sucks.
The other team is unguardable. Yeah. It's like if Nick Nurse in the 2019 final, I get it because it was Golden State and KD got hurt and Clay was hurt, but that's like the Raptors going out after, let's say, going down 2-0, and Nick Nurse literally goes out in public and says, yeah, we're not winning. They're unguardable. Like, no, like Sheldon Keefe, when he said that comment, again, Nathan McKinnon, probably the second best player in the league. He's probably going to win the Hart Trophy. You praise teams, but you don't openly say that this line on that team is in a league of their own. Because you could say that about any other team. He could have said it about Pasternak's line years. For years, he could have said that, never did. And he, all of a sudden now, he's saying, oh yeah, that team is unguardable. What, are you trying to fucking like guard yourself? Like, what are you trying to say there? So the last week and a half for Keefe has been a fucking disaster. That Detroit game, watching them blow that lead against Detroit, it made me sick to my stomach because I knew that that top line on that team, they weren't unguardable that night. Larkin, Kane, DeBrincat, they didn't play that good. So what the hell is your excuse there? Oh wait, he didn't have one. So it baffles me. I think you need to let Keith go. And here's another guy that was a free agent last year, Alino. Rick Tocchet. Guy was fucking doing ESPN last year. Guy goes to Vancouver. Oh, all of a sudden, the problem solved. They're first place. Could win the President's Trophy. There's
Torch was available too.
Torch is also available. There's so many fucking questions with this Leaf team. I'll start it with coaching. I think you got to get rid of him. It's just a ticking time bomb. Marner's another guy where I think he feels the heat now with Nylander re-signing. If you're Marner, do you ask for a fucking boatload? Like, do you ask for $13 million if you're Marner? You could try, but we're probably going to laugh in his face. Do you give Marner like a 3-year deal? Because if I'm Marner, I'm not going to like that. This team is it's a fucking disaster.
Ultimately, it'll come down to these two. I'm going to say these two things. One, the coaching change. Who and when will it be? And then number two is who and when will be the new Toronto Maple Leaf starting goalie? Because if anything, those are the two biggest things the Leafs need to address. Some people might say the coach, no, don't address him. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Have you not seen what people have seen, not just in the playoffs, but even in the regular season for the past few years? And they might be like, oh, but come on, the team's winning. They're doing, yeah, but they won one playoff series and then they got fucking their ass kicked. Like in the playoffs, he's playing checkers and every coach that he's playing is playing chess.
Here's the thing.
It's bad, man. It is bad.
Here's the thing that I got to ask. I'll start with Alino. Like realistically, you're looking at this team. Yeah. You know, I said it. We're probably the worst we've been in 7 years since the 16-17 team when we were what? We faced Washington, remember? Oh, we had no expectations. We almost fucking won that series. This is probably the worst team since then. Do you trade Bertuzzi for a second round pick? Because he's got no value right now. Do you trade a guy like a Nick Robertson and Timmins, knowing that they have a little bit of potential in them? Do you trade a guy like Max Domi? Like, there's so many questions with this team, but here is my biggest question. We all know if we make the postseason, we're either playing, you ready? Carolina, Florida, or Boston. Oh, and maybe Tampa Bay. With this team, do you see us beating any of those teams right now? I'll give you a fucking flat out answer. The answer's no. We're not doing it. Unless we could fucking score 6 a game. In the playoffs, we somehow managed to, what, every series put up 2 goose eggs? So, man, like, I got no faith for this season. That's all I got to say.
Another thing, too, with, like, coaching changes, I know, like, you guys brought up good points there. Like, oh, maybe fans will jump to conclusions and say, well, we don't maybe need the coaching change right now. You want to know, like, a news flash? If you go look at soccer, Roma just fired Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck. What are you doing for us now?
It's wild. Like, before Mourinho got there, zero trophies, number one. Zero European finals. Mourinho got there. They went to, I think it was 3 or 4 finals in Europe, and they have a European trophy. And yet they still said, sorry, Jose, thank you, but you got to get the fuck out.
Like, was it his fault with all those transfers, though? They fucking changed their whole team this year. What are you fucking doing?
Like, they always complain about the coach. Like, if it was soccer, he'd be gone, like, at the beginning of the year.
Oh, are you kidding? Are you kidding?
After we lost to Chicago. Yeah. The second time, get out of here.
We sacked Sheldon Keefe. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's okay.
I do agree. Like, the expectations and the way the NHL is run and the way coaches are viewed, it's very different compared to soccer, even football, where it's like, in football, there was like 4 or 5 head coaching changes. It's like, and they're not bad coaches. They just had really garbage football teams that they couldn't get anything out of. They all got canned or they parted ways. Now, here's an interesting thing to step away from the coaching aspect. I saw something today that was relatively interesting, and I saw it on Twitter. I heard it on the radio. Apparently, according to Carlo Koliakovo, I heard on the ride in this morning that apparently Corey Perry and the Toronto Maple Leafs, apparently there's a mutual interest in possibly bringing Corey Perry to Toronto. Do you think that might solve our problems?
Yeah, on the Marlies, that'd be fine. But I don't think that's a distraction they need right now.
I fucking love Perry as a player. If you get Perry, you look like the biggest dumbass. Because you got Bertuzzi, you got Reeves, yeah. you got Klingberg. And what, Corey Perry all of a sudden is going to help your team? What, you're going to send, what, $3 million to him? No. Reeves got $3 million. I'm just saying.
But if we're being honest about the Corey Perry Fuck thing, six. Besides that, besides your perspectives, which make perfect sense, whoever is going to sign Corey Perry, you're signing him to a PTO, and then you're going to see if he's going to fucking make the team. That's honestly what's going to happen, whoever signs him, whether it's Toronto or whoever. Ultimately, the Leafs need something. If they're not going to fire this fucking coach, what are you going to do? Who are you going to trade? Because everyone in the fan base has a guy on this team that we have just said, fuck off. He's untradeable. We all have our own opinions on that, on who we think is untradeable. Chris, you think everyone knows who they are. We don't even have to fucking name them. I will say though, if you think about trading Nick Robertson right now, I think we're just going to be shooting ourselves in the foot, and it's going to feel like down the road whenever we play him and he decides to have Carter Verhaeghe-like performances or yeah. Jared McCann-like performances or Mason Marchment performances against us.
How about
we're going to be like, what the fuck?
How about that guy on Edmonton? He's pretty good.
Oh, Zach.
Zach Hyman.
Yeah. Good guy.
Like, no, but we don't have the patience and we just say, fuck off. We're going to get a second round pick or whoever the fuck we're going to get. And then when they turn into 30, 40 goal scorers and those teams go on to winning Stanley Cups or making playoff runs, we're left fucking on the golf course in the summer being like, you know what the Leafs fucking could use? That guy Carter Verhaeghe. Or that you always hear your fucking uncle or some fucking cousin, hey, that guy Verhaeghe, he's a fucking tank. Yeah, he used to be a fucking Leaf. Why the fuck did they trade him? Well, because the Leafs believe if you're on the Marlies, you're never going to be a fucking NHL.
So who the fuck do you trade then?
Bertuzzi.
It has to be Bertuzzi.
But that's my point. What do you get for him right now, man? You get nothing for him. Second?
Cap space.
Fuck.
To make another trade.
Send him like back more. To fucking Boston and I give was just going to say Allmark.
That. Oh, no.
We need a goalie.
They won't say yes to that.
No, I know that. But like...
We got to give up Robertson, Timmins, Bertuzzi, and someone else for Allmark.
It's...
Yeah, probably. Hey,
maybe we send him to fucking Columbus and we get Merzlikins because he's fucking pissed off being in Columbus now.
You know too. What? That's a good show, honestly, Merzlikins. You know who you brought up? Mourinho. Ten Hag is literally Keefe. Oh. I don't know if you've noticed that. Fucking rumors for years. Oh, is Ten Hag going to get fucking canned because man, you fucking reeks. They're in seventh in the Prem again. Oh, they're not going to be Champions League. No, we're going to keep them. Well, what the fuck are you doing keeping them? You're going to be in fucking seventh for the next 3 years. You wasted Sancho. You wasted Antony. You wasted fucking all these guys. But we're not talking soccer.
No.
So I'm not going to vent about, Man U today.
Another 2 hour podcast.
Oh, and by the way, we're going to fucking lose Varane for nothing. So that's great. Well, it's fucking awesome.
It's Manchester United. It's where you go. It's
the story
where you,
of their life.
Yeah, it's where you go to ruin your career, you know? But anyway, we're getting off topic. The Leafs. There's so many fucking things. If we can get a goalie, like a real goalie, that would help. But we need fucking defensemen. We need a coach. How stupid does this sound? Forwards, we got figured out. Defensemen, we got one. Goalies, we're pulling at fucking scraps. Our coach,
The sad thing about forwards too, though, is do we have it figured out?
Hold on.
And third line.
Yeah, but if you go back to how this team was playing, and I'm going to say this prior to the Nylander extension. The only reason why is because it's like the biggest polarizing thing that's happened so far this season in terms of like the team having to, let's say, get over something that's happened to a player that is good for him. They clearly seem like they've fucking folded. It's like, oh, this guy got paid. What the fuck are we going to do now? If you look at how the team was playing, all those lines that we had set up before he signed the contract, we were getting production from Kampf and Gregor. We were blown away with how they were playing. The Domi's line started pulling it together. The Nylander line was fucking on fire. Matthews was on fire.
Still is.
Yeah. No. So it's one of those things where it's like, besides the goalie thing and then knowing on defense, if it's not Morgan Rielly or Benoit stepping up or even McCabe having a good night, we're more or less fucked. It's like, what happened? So what happened?
Muzzin happened. That's where it kind of started, the downward fucking spiral.
We can't keep saying Muzzin because unfortunately, you know, he's done. Let the guy go off in the sunset and he couldn't finish his career how he wanted to. But what happened? Is it Keith's stupid comments finally caught up with him and this team doesn't want to play for him anymore? Or are these guys looking like, fuck, this guy got all this money. Now, how the fuck do we got, like, what are we going to do? How am I going to get paid? Because if that's the case, we clearly need to make not just a few changes. We need to make wholesale changes so that when a guy gets paid like that, no matter who it is, you have a team that's still willing to put it together and play. Because if that's the case, that's fucking childish and that's bad. That's almost as bad as being like when we were kids and playing hockey, kids or parents would have shit fits on who would get the assistant captain or the captaincy in hockey.
Yeah,
it would, it could ruin your team's season because parents would be pissed off and then their kids would get pissed off. And then we don't like Tommy on the team anymore because Tommy isn't a good hockey player, but for whatever reason, he's the assistant captain. And Bobby, who knows so-and-so and he's this person's son, gets the C. So it's like, fuck this. Why do we got to have a good team? And it's like,
damn,
the politics of it, the politics of it's garbage, right? So it certainly seems like something's up in the room. I think Keith might have just lost the room. Or maybe it's time where we say enough's enough and you ship out a big name like Marner or I don't fucking know. But like if you fire Keith, bring in Bruce Boudreaux. I don't have an issue with that. I would love to see Torts, but it's not going to happen because he's not leaving Philly because they're playing way too well. So I don't know. They need a lot. They don't need a little. And it's always baffling.
They need somebody on... Like, go look at San Jose, a disgruntled guy there that you can maybe take advantage of, Anaheim, maybe Arizona.
You know who I wouldn't, and you know, we've talked about this already. If you feel like you need scoring depth, we brought it up last time, and you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago. What's stopping the Leafs from bringing Phil Kessel in on a PTO? Yeah. Like, if we're being honest about, like, if there's mutual interest of bringing Corey Perry in, why aren't you thinking about Phil Kessel? Or even, this is going to sound silly, but soft spot for the guy. What's stopping you from maybe trying to get James Reimer? He fucking stood on his head against us the other night. He had an amazing game. I don't know. Like, or even, like you said, make a trip out west. Go to San Jose. Sit down with who is it? Greer? Greer's there. Yeah. Sit down with Mike Greer and just have a coffee. Shoot the shit. Okay, Mike. You guys are tanking. It's no fucking secret. Who can we get? What do you want? But on the cheap. We'll make it work, but we need it on the cheap. And then, you know, you send a couple picks. That way they give you a player here or there. Because Mario Ferraro in a Leaf jersey? That'd be fucking sweet.
And they can also say, hey, by the way, I brought cash. So
Yeah, exactly.
hey, Bertuzzi in a second for Duclair. Who says no? Bertuzzi, you could go to the beach, man. You're good. You're fine. You'll go to Boston in the offseason anyway. Gives up.
By the way, I got your bags here.
By the way, while you're there, go get a fucking dentist and fucking fix your teeth.
Kessel, you were talking about like the missing piece. Like,
yeah.
It's just a PTO. It's like you're asking to pay $4 million. Like Corey Perry's going to probably, let's be real, he's going to ask for it. Going to test the market.
No, he's not taking minimum. Fuck no, yeah. He's not. He's not. I'll tell you right now, he's not.
No, but if you think about it, based on how it went in Chicago, he doesn't have any place to go to the table and be like, hey, okay, this is what's going to happen. Thank you for bringing me in, but I'm going to need 2 years at two and a half per, and then maybe I'll sign. Who the fuck do you think you are? You almost got banned indefinitely from playing hockey, yet you still want to play. Take a PTO, sign for a vet minimum like a Jason Spezza or whoever, and earn your contract. If you do that with Phil Kessel, there'll be a reward, I certainly think. Because who's going to stop, like, when you think about it, Phil Kessel on a line, let's say, with fucking Max Domi, and who the fuck would play center on that line? Whoever. It's not a bad line. You put John Tavares, Max Domi, and fucking Phil Kessel. Those guys can skate up and down, and Tavares just has to win fucking faceoffs.
I think there has to be, honestly, like, as all these years and like Kessel being available, there has to be like some political bullshit at like MLSC. Like, I don't know if it's Shanahan. I don't know who's it. Like,
it's got to be someone. Yeah. Like, Phil Kessel's banned to be here. Yeah.
No video tribute, but Justin Hall comes in. We're going to show a video graphic on the screen. That's kind of
wild. Weird. That's another thing. Like,
that might be the biggest question mark in Leaf, like in our years watching the Leafs. Why does he not have a tribute? He led our team 6 years in a row in scoring.
Bozak got one.
Bozy got a JVR.
Like,
I bet if Loophole showed up, they probably said, oh, look, Joffrey Loophole's in the house.
If Justin Hall can get one.
Right in the trainer's room.
If Justin Hall can get one.
Fuck off, man.
It's wild.
Poor Phil. Actually, you know what? No, fuck. Phil's fucking laughing. 3-time cup winner. You kidding me? Guy's still not in the league. That's absolutely absurd. But hey,
he'll be a Hall of Famer.
We got to conclude. This was a fucking pod. I mean, yeah. I could go another hour venting about the Leafs, but I'll rest easy tonight. But because
here's a question though. What do you think it would take for the Leafs to go to San Jose and get a guy like Mario Ferraro. I know he's not a guy that they might not be willing to give up.
Probably not a lot.
Robertson maybe, because they're tanking. They want forwards.
Like, we need if we can get a guy like him, and he doesn't have to be top pairing. He can be second pairing. That would be fun to see. He can play.
I mean, I would say, like, if there's guys that I would target on San Jose, it's like Duclair. His cap is a little much, but man, he brings it every shift. I think if you could somehow sweeten the pot and get a guy like Zutterland, Barabanov was once a Leaf, bring him back. He's improved a lot. Bertuzzi has to fucking go because the fit is awful. You could tell there's lack of commitment somewhere. Since that Boston incident, I don't know if like people are continuously bashing him on Twitter, but you just can tell there's something going on where he's not either getting along with his line mates or maybe with the coach. He's only at what, like 16 points? Like it's a huge drop off.
It's miserable. I think Mike Johnson did his midseason grades, and it was like maybe two or there might have been three, four Leaf players had A's. Everyone else was fucking B minus, C pluses, and D's. Like,
and who had the A's? Nylander,
Matthews, and Riley,
and probably Wall.
And I think Marner had an A minus. Wall had a B plus.
I would have given Marner a B plus. I don't think it's an A right now.
I think Wall got a B plus only because him getting hurt and he hasn't really played.
So how many Leafs had Fs?
They didn't really give him any of them Fs, but like it was like D minus. Like, you know, you failed, but we're giving you this grade just so it doesn't like...
It's like elementary school. Like you can't fail.
John Tavares had a C minus or a D, which is kind of tough because he's been consistent for the most part, but the last few weeks...
He gets in the dirty areas.
It just drops so bad.
He just can't skate. That's it.
The only positive is they have contracts coming off the books. They didn't give them all term.
Yeah.
Like Bertuzzi's one, Klingberg was one, Domi's one. Reeves is the only one that gave like long term.
And it's so stupid because you know how genius the Leafs would have looked if they gave, say, Reeves' contract to Domi? You know how genius they would have looked? Instead of giving Domi 1 year, you give switch the contracts.
Yeah.
You give Reeves Domi's contract and you give Domi's contract to Reeves, we're laughing. Because at that point it's like, Ryan, you're getting sent down. We don't give a fuck. You clear. You're going to be a Marley for the rest of your career. And like a guy like Bertuzzi, it's going to be hard to trade him because he's got no value because he's playing like dog shit. And he's making a lot of money to give to someone as a rental, technically. So
yeah, that's true.
Like, well, and what, you're not trading John Tavares. They're not.
No, they can't.
Like, and if they do...
That's an off-season move. If they, like the 1% chance that there is, that's an off-season.
There's no team out there that would take his game for his contract right now. And it's no knack to Tavares. He signed it. He had 47 goals his first year with us. But man, like now.
He earned that contract. Ultimately, he earned that contract. And a lot of people, I think, didn't have the foresight to think that he was going to have this drop-off.
This might be a hot take. I'll end the pod with this hot take. If Tavares is not playing with Marner or Nylander, I think he has similar stats to Sagan now. Like 55 to 65 is the most for Tavares. Call it how you will.
He's been known to like carry guys. I think he would be, I don't know. I still think he would be
like good production enough. Wise. You think he'd still get like 70?
Yeah, I'd be very slow to get there, but I think he would find a way.
He always finds a way to be at the right place at the right time. Like his tipping goals, his face-off wins, his battles in the corner. Like it's just, I think it's the foot speeder at this moment in time. Otherwise his game's still there. It's just moving his feet. Otherwise,
like if he's a free agent, I think everybody still calls him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's just like the 11 million scares away. Like they would give him like 6, 7, maybe.
No. I don't.
If they want to like crack the bank.
I'd say 6. 6 is fair.
If there's a bidding war, I'd say 6. But if it's like other teams, it would probably 5.
I was gonna say if a team that's gonna want him for the right reasons, like let's say the Los Angeles Kings,
probably Edmonton,
Florida, Edmonton, yeah. Tampa, whoever at that point amongst that echelon of teams. Okay, John, this is what we want to do.
Maybe he goes back to the island.
We want... No, they're not going to take him. We want you on a 3-year deal at 5.5 per.
That sounds about right.
Or even we'll give you 4.5, but when you sign, you get Same thing with the Leafs. You get like $10 million when you sign, or like a massive signing bonus guaranteed. And then you're playing on peanuts, so we don't have that cap hit. Because otherwise, how else are you going to sign him? You can't give him $6 million anymore. I don't. In 2 years' time, he's not a $6 million player.
So here's our prediction to end the pod. When is Keith getting fired? Like, when is the line drawn? Because
end of the month.
Here, hold on. Let me get the schedule up. So we play next.
He's either going to get fired before the All-Star game.
Oh, that would be me. Right before the All-Star game. Yeah, we're hosting it here. By the way, we fired our coach. So send your resumes, your LinkedIn requests.
Okay, so so we play Calgary tomorrow, and then we play Vancouver Saturday. So if we get blown out, like let's say we lose tomorrow night, like 4-1, is that where you kind of like look at him? It's like, hey, man, I know the All-Star game's here. It's a good story, but we've lost 5 in a row now. What's going on? You fucked up all the lines 2 games ago. Now what?
Okay, so here they're on a 5-game skid. Here's the next 5 games. Calgary, like you said, Vancouver, Seattle, all on the road, and then we come home and we play the Jets, and then we play the Jets again in Winnipeg. I don't see him.
So 2 of those games are easily, in my opinion, winnable. Calgary and Seattle, but Vancouver and the way Winnipeg is playing.
2 of the best teams in the league you're going up against, like the way they're playing Winnipeg and Vancouver. If he goes 1-4 in this 5-game skid and he has some more bullshit coming out with his quotes, he's done. If they go, even if they go, I'm going to say 3-2 and it's still bad, I still can him.
And you know what's hilarious? They have a chance to lose another 3 straight. Based on what you just told me, the Calgary, Vancouver, Seattle, all on the road.
They're not easy places to go play, no matter if they're playing good or bad hockey.
Seattle's crowd's bumping. I think if we lose these next two,
we lose to Seattle.
Goes to Seattle and loses,
we're done. Get embarrassed in Seattle.
Oh boy!
Well, if we get pumped in Vancouver, like 7-0 or 7-2, some shit like that,
that would be the ugly game. I could see Vancouver.
That would be like the message, like Babcock.
That would be it, though. We lose bad to Vancouver. That's it.
It's obviously something we need to kind of discuss, and we have. I mean, we're here. We're talking about it. Craig Button said it perfectly yesterday. Like, it's come down to structure the team. How can you manage it? And we've seen this season so far with who Trey Lemming has brought in. Our coach hasn't been able to manage it, and he's getting out-coached every single game, at least since the Swedish World Tour.
Yeah,
we've probably been, and this is being generous, maybe like the 12th best team in the league.
We can't win in regulation, whether we have a lead or not. We can't.
And we'll talk about it another time because we're fucking going on too long here. But like, it's gone to the point where I mentioned this is probably our worst team in a long time. Yeah, Matthews is fucking playing out of his mind, but how much can that kid do? How much could Riley do? Gets to a point where we saw last night, Matt McDavid just going circle, circle, circle. Eventually, guess what? Bam, McLeod scores. It goes in the net. We get fucking fatigued. So this is where the Stars are getting fatigued. Marner with that comment. I mean, you got to be held accountable. He's never been held accountable. I guess that comes from his dad, unfortunately. But another day.
They got to toe the company line.
Hey, maybe those are the first 2 things I got to change. Keith gets fucking shot out of a cannon out the building after we lose to Vancouver. And then maybe before the deadline, after the All-Star break, Mitch gets dealt. I'm not saying that's going to happen or needs to happen, but who cares?
No trade clause. He can't get traded.
You can trade him. Just because he has a no trade clause, he has a list. Just, Mitch, sorry, we know you got the clause.
Where do you want to go?
You're getting moved. Where do you want to go? And if he says Detroit, give me Dylan Larkin. Give me fucking DeBrincat.
Patrick Kane.
Give me Mo Sider. You can get Mitch Marner. I don't give a fuck.
Honestly, it would not take much, I think, to get. Like, I think if you're Yzerman, you can get a guy like Marner. Just look at it. Be like, hey, man, just I know you might say no. Give us Sider and give us a first. And that is it. That is all I fucking want. A 23-year-old defenseman that it could be a future Norris winner. That's all I fucking ask. Because there's so many teams out there where you look at Mariners like, well, we're going to have to get eight player haul. No, man, this isn't basketball. This isn't a Paul George situation. It's not that fucking hard. You can get an elite defenseman and a pick for Marner, or you could get a middle tier forward, two good defensemen and a pick. It's not that hard, but here we are. It's like we're fucking strapped. We'll see what happens. That was In the Zone for this week. We talked about the Leafs a lot. That was a banger. Venting, talking about the Royal Rumble. We both think CM Punk, best in the world, is going to win it. Is he going to main event WrestleMania? Probably not. It'll probably be Rock and Roman for the head of the table. And of course, we talked about our boy Spicy P taking his talents to Indiana. But as that being said, as always, we are In the Zone, signing out.